Hello, and welcome to the 73rd episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer Podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. My name is Samantha Blackman, and I'm an associate professor here at Purdue University in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I talk about, read about, dream about, think about lots of things, including video games. And I am joined tonight by two of my co-hosts, Charlotte Hyde and Sarah Nixon. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Who'd like to introduce themselves first?
I can. I'm Charlotte Hyde. I'm a PhD student at Purdue University studying professional writing, and I'm a Lego enthusiast, so it's getting worse by the day. I blame Sam.
You can't blame me. Is that what you're calling it now, a Lego enthusiast instead of an addict?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually think that's what most professionals do, right? Yes.
Is they call themselves enthusiasts?
Enthusiasts, mm-hmm. Yes.
Probably. Yep. I'm going to start calling myself a video game enthusiast.
Exactly.
I'll take it. Sarah?
I'm Sarah. I am currently a senior, about to graduate in May at Purdue, undergrad studying creative writing and professional writing, looking to get into the gaming industry after I graduate. So I am on the job market. Hire me, please. Yay.
All right, so we'll do our usual thing tonight, which is the what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking, before we get into the meat of the evening. So let's start with what you're playing. Charlotte, you're first up on the show notes. What you playing this week?
Well, Rayman Legends, but I blame that on you, too, because I wasn't playing it. Well, no, I can't, because I wasn't playing it for a while, and then we talked about it the other night, and then I picked it up again, and I was like, what am I doing? So, it's super fun. I still love it. I got back into Lego Movie, also super fun. I don't have much new to add to that. And random Lego games I found on the Kindle, which are surprisingly addictive, and they were all free, so... Well, they weren't all addictive. One of them, Lego City Rapid Rescue, wasn't that fun, but the other ones were Lego Star Wars The Yoda Chronicles. Very fun.
So are they like the regular Lego?
No, they're like, well, you haven't played Kindle games, but they involve the touch screen, and they're much more simple.
Okay.
But they're still fun, quick games. They're sort of challenging, so, except for the Rapid Rescue one. That was just kind of stupid, but the other one.
Maybe we'll have to try. I'm going to have to try some of those out. I hope my Kindle's charged.
Yeah. They're free, so you can't go wrong.
No. All right, Sarah, what you playing?
I am playing still mostly Lightning Returns. But I'm getting closer to the end now, so... Yeah, even somehow in a game that's all about the importance of time, I am still taking forever. That always happens when I play Final Fantasy, though. But I'm getting close. Still doing the, Pokemon competition with Dan, so I was playing Pokemon X. We played a lot of Boom Blocks Bash at the Purdue Women Gamers Group unofficial meeting. So there's that. And then also Ghost Stories.
Yeah.
Which is not a video game, it's a board game. But I'm slowly getting more people addicted to it. I feel like I get them to play once and then they're like, they lose. And then they're like, now I have to play this game until I win.
So, yeah, that was a good one. It's one of those games that you can like almost never win.
Yeah, I did. We did though. Me and Dan, we finally won, but we were on like the very easiest level, giving ourselves like the 5 health instead of 4, which is they recommend like if you're on easy and you still are having trouble, give yourself 5. So we did it with 5. I think we would have been okay with 4. But, yeah. But now, Abby and Kayla, who were playing it with us, they, like, are very aggressively demanding that they come hang out and play Ghost Stories. So, getting people addicted to Ghost Stories.
I think I could get into that.
It's fun.
It's a fun game.
It's really frustrating, but, like, you're, like, cursing the game, but then you really... At the end, you're just like, I have to do this again. It's very driving, I guess.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess it's my turn. I have been playing mostly, you know, kind of same kind of stuff. I've still been playing Bravely Default, which I imagine I'll be playing for quite a while because, you know, I can't see a JRPG of this sort on the DS taking, you know, any small amount of time, especially since you tend to play it in smaller chunks.
Yeah.
I've also still been playing Hearthstone. I did play a bit of Minecraft on the 360 last week, and let me explain. I know I've talked about that game horribly in the past. P actually wanted to start playing Minecraft because she's got tons of friends at school that are playing Minecraft. So she wanted to start playing Minecraft. So I figured I better, you know, bone up so that I can, you know, teach her kind of the basics and then pass it off to her and let her kind of go for it and see how she does. So we spent, you know, one or two good evenings, you know, small chunks of time, of course, playing Minecraft and playing around with it and playing at it. And it still drives me absolutely nuts. I just cannot get into that game. And mm-hmm. I don't think that she's into it as much as she wants to be. More than anything else, she just kind of wants to play because all her friends are playing. And she likes the idea of building things, but I don't know if it's my kind of lack of enthusiasm that is kind of rubbing off on her or what. So we'll see how that kind of pans out in the end. But what I did start to play this week, because the beta came out yesterday, actually, on the Xbox One. It's been out on the PC for a while, is Project Spark, Microsoft Project Spark, which is kind of Fable meets Minecraft, in that you are building this world, but so you can build it in two different ways. You can build like a story or build a game, right? And it's adventure gamey, right? So what do you want to do? I want to go out and I want to, you know, find treasure. So, and then it'll say, okay, click the button here to build your city. And then it'll say, so you want to find treasure. Now, where do you want to go to find treasure? And it'll give you a list of places, right, of environments. And you will click which kind of environment you want. And then it'll ask you where you want to put it. And then it'll ask you, like, where you want to put bad guys that you got to fight and how many you want to fight. So you're building an adventure game more than just building, you know, using kind of basic building blocks. But you do still have the same kind of, you know, bad guys that you have to fight and all these other situations that arise. Just like in Minecraft when you're playing on actual survival mode and not just creative mode. But it's absolutely beautiful. It's not, you know, the blocky, pixelated Minecraft. And I think the reason that I like it so far is because it is adventure gamey. In a way that Minecraft is not. Not that Minecraft is not an adventure game, but it's just something about it that is so freaking tedious.
Yeah, and I can't stand it.
And you know, and I was going to say, you know, I was like, well, see, now I don't feel bad, because I was going to say, I love Legos, and yeah. Some people may say Legos are tedious, but not to me.
No,
but,
that's, you know, zen. Zen.
Yeah. Yep, Minecraft is driving me nuts. So I've been playing around with Project Spark, to see how it's, like I said, it's still in beta, so I wanted to see how buggy it actually was, and play around with it until I'm comfortable enough with it so that I can kind of take her in and show her Project Spark and see how that goes. And the last thing I've been playing is The Wolf Among Us, because I hadn't finished episode 2 yet. Like I said last time, I think I had like half an hour or so before I got to the end of episode 2, and I wanted to get to the end of episode 2 because I knew that episode 2 of season 2 of The Walking Dead was coming out this week.
Today.
Yeah. Well, yeah, on the 360, came out today. Came out on, I think, PlayStation yesterday, but I've been playing it on the Xbox.
I'm on the Xbox, too.
Yes, in season 1, and I wasn't switching over to get it a day earlier. And since I got home, like, right before we started the podcast, or, like, half an hour, 45 minutes before, I haven't had a chance to download it or anything yet. But
I only downloaded, so.
That will be on my plate for later this week.
Yep.
And that's what I've been playing.
Fun. All
right. What about reading? Anybody reading anything interesting that is games related or relatable to games?
I feel like every show I can just say all of the stuff we read for class.
Yes, yes, you can, pretty much.
So, all of the stuff we read for class.
So what'd you read for class there?
Dungeons and Desktops is the last one.
Yeah.
I can never remember their names. That's probably really bad, but I'm just a horrible person for remembering names.
Yeah, well, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, we read Matt Barton's book, Dungeons and Desktops, for this week and had some interesting discussions about RPGs versus CRPGs and, you know, and thinking about the time that has lapsed and how RPGs or even CRPGs and or both have evolved in the, what was it, 6 years, 7 years since that book's been published?
Yeah. It was like 2005, 2006, something like that. So maybe more than that, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was 2007, but we kind of figured out that, you know, with, because of some of the things that he used to date it.
Oh, yeah, like because Mass Effect was
wasn't out yet, yep. So that was actually kind of fun to talk about it in that way and to talk about RPGs because I love RPGs. One of my favorite, not my favorite genre. My favorite genre is still kind of the action-adventure game. And that's because point-and-click adventure games will always be near and dear to my heart. I know a lot of people hate them because they feel like they're just clicking around, but I love them. And we'll see, so. What about you, Charlotte? Playing anything fun? I mean, watching it, reading anything? Reading anything fun?
Go through the list mentally of all the things you can do.
I'm reading Latour. Do you want to know about that?
Is it games related at all? Latour?
I feel like Salvo would be angry, though. We've been like, ming Latour.
I think he would be happy that I'm reading stuff from my prospectus.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about she. I think she's talking about the fact that she went,
yeah, because we were both Latour. Ming.
No, oh, still prospectus mode.
Well, that's understandable. You got lots of stuff to do. All right, here's a fun question. What y'all drinking?
Well, I'm drinking the thing that Alex keeps making fun of me for, which is wine and sparkling water.
Oh, wine spritzer. Yummy.
I like it.
It's a white wine spritzer, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, do you use a sweet or a dry white when you make your spritzer? That's a big question right there.
I buy whatever's sort of cheap at the store. And mix
box
it.
Box wine.
Not quite that cheap, but...
oh, you...
I like the Rex... I think it's called Rex Goliath or something. I don't know. It's like $4 a bottle, and it's really delicious.
In the same sentence, it's $4 a bottle, yes. And it's really delicious.
It's amazing.
I don't know.
This might be why I put water in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it's delicious.
Exactly.
It's delicious.
It's so all delicious, right. I need to dilute the deliciousness of water.
I can't handle all the deliciousness at once.
Yeah, it's not fine wine, but it works.
Okay. What about you, Sarah? What are you drinking?
Not that I'm really ever drinking anything, but this week I'm sick, and I'm actually on meds, so especially reason why I'm not drinking.
Right.
Which they're like, okay, I was commenting today, I was making some joking comment about shooting or something, because I think it was spawning from a conversation on TV with Dan, and then it was like time for me to take my pill, and I took out the pill, and I was like, I realized that it's basically the size of a bullet.
Ah.
It's huge.
Antibiotics always are. That's horrible.
Yeah. One time I had strep throat, and they give me this humongous pill. And I'm like, I have strep throat. What?
I can't swallow that. What's wrong with you?
I know. Yeah, well, thankfully it's not as bad as, because I am vegetarian, so, like, there are certain vitamins that I can't take because they make it, like, I forget which vitamin, or like which, I guess vitamin, yeah, that derives from fish oil, but a lot of them are made with fish oil, so I have to get like the all veggie kind, and mm-hmm. like there was one that like, it was gigantic, and it smelled, and I've been around horses a lot, so I compared it to a horse treat, it smelled like a horse treat, which is not a very good smell most of the time. Like if it's like the vegetable-y kind, and not the like, peppermint-y kind. It didn't smell good. Yeah. and it was giant, and it was like, had to cut them in half to take them because they were just too big.
Are you supposed to do that, though?
I don't know. I've always I've wondered that, too. For these, Dan offered to cut them, these pills for me, but then I was like, I don't know if you're really supposed to do that. And I feel like cutting in half a vitamin is one thing because it's not like a necessity. But, like, cutting a half a pill is questionable. I mean, when I was a kid, my mom always used to, like, break them up and put them in applesauce, like, crush them.
Yeah.
Or, like, take out the powder, but I don't know.
Yeah, you can do that for kids, though, because the little bead things are what actually dissolve and have a time release. So you can do that for kids. And they're usually fine with that because you can't give kids pills.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because P5, she still can't swallow a pill. That's why they still make liquid everything for kids.
I couldn't swallow a pill until I was like 12 because I had a very strong gag reflex. It was horrible. I felt like I really felt like I was being ridiculous, but I just couldn't swallow pills. But I got over it eventually, so that's good.
I was an adult before I could swallow pills.
I was going to say, I'm still pretty much a wussy. I've got one vitamin that I take every night that I have to break in half and let dissolve because I can't swallow the damn thing. I mean, I gag every time I try to swallow it, even if I break it in half and try to swallow it.
Yeah.
So, but, enough about meds. So I have had no weekend. So it was like I was on all weekend doing like 90 different things, and I've had the same kind of week. Today is Wednesday, and already two nights this week I have gotten less than 2 hours of sleep.
Gross.
So what I'm drinking tonight is actually a Starbucks Grande white chocolate triple soy mocha because I wanted to be able to stay awake, one, long enough to do the podcast, and two, long enough to actually get ready to go back out and do something else, to go back out and start all over again tomorrow. Because, like I said, we had a middle of the week play date, which was a lot of fun and much needed, probably. Because kids are all kind of crazy and being cooped up because it's been like, negative 400 degrees.
Negative 400 degrees.
Negative 400 degrees. Yes. Mm. So any chance to kind of exert any kind of extra energy is a welcome one for kids right about this time. So we had a middle of the week play date. And it involved dinner, thankfully, because it was 8 o'clock by the time we got home, and 8:30 is bedtime. So, I'm drinking coffee at 10 o'clock at night, 10:15. It won't, but coffee doesn't keep me from going to sleep.
I drank coffee before the sparkling wine, so.
See, to stay awake.
Nice mixture.
Yeah, my body loves me right now.
There we go. All right. So, what do we have for news?
News. Okay, so I have a lot of news. So my first news item, I guess, is there was a kid who pretended, or kids, I guess, who were pretending to make a Call of Duty bomb by, like, taking a water bottle and, like, taping, like, a circuit board with, like, wires going under the bottle cap, and they, like, left it outside or something, and then a neighbor found it and thought it was an actual bomb.
Oh, nice.
So she called the police, and the residents were evacuated, and I guess the kids said that they were playing Call of Duty in real life. So, that's interesting.
Oh, yay.
My second news is that Batman Arkham Knight was announced.
Yes, it was.
Have you seen the trailer?
Oh, of course. I saw the trailer when they made the announcement. Now, okay, everybody knows this. I hate driving in video games.
Me too. I suck at it.
I don't want to do it. And any game that gives me the ability to pawn that task off on somebody else or to, like, skip driving missions, I am totally and completely down for. But I want to play this game so bad.
Because they're making, they reveal today, because Game Informer is doing, like a new little bit of information about the game, like, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they revealed that they're making, the primary villain in this is an all-new villain of their creation.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's what the Arkham Knight comes from. It's like, he's the villain, I guess. Well, I guess we don't know it's a he, but assuming.
Assuming it's a he.
Assuming it's a he.
Oh, yeah. I really want to play this game.
It looks interesting. Although, I consistently dismayed every time of what outfit they put Harley Quinn in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time it just gets a little bit worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. But you can, you know what, if you pre-order it, or at least on Xbox One, the trailer that I saw when they launched said if you pre-order, you can play as Harley Quinn.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I was like, oh, yeah, I can have some fun with that.
I'm very attached to her, like Batman cartoon version, like, because that's what I was primarily grew up with, so it's mm-hmm. like, I see no need for her not to wear her classic outfit. I mean, I know that they made it darker and edgier, but, you know.
Uh-huh.
Still, not even the same colors anymore. I don't know. Now it's like purple and red and stuff, and I just don't think those colors go together. Maybe I'm just being really picky. Well, she's like my favorite Batman character, so.
And now you're pissed, right?
Yeah, it's like,
I don't know. I'm welcoming the opportunity to play as Harley Quinn.
Yes,
she's gotten such short shrift in the last games, right?
Yeah.
You know, especially when, you know, she was being offered up as rape bait by the Joker. That was distressing.
Yeah, I ship her with Poison Ivy, so there should have been more of that.
Yeah.
I like their little interaction in the first one, though. Well, to an extent.
Well, she looks, and I'm looking at the picture again now, right, because I was like, yeah, she had the costume that was kind of the French maidy costume, but it's very French maidy.
But she's
like kicking ass in this one, though.
Yeah, in this one she is.
And that one, I think, is kind of, you know, and the big question is, if you can play as Harley Quinn, are you going to be able to, is Harley Quinn going to switch sides, or are you going to play a villain?
Well, she wants to kill Batman. Yeah. So, but then it's also, like, the whole thing is that with Joker dead, now the villain's, like, realize that if they team up, they can take care of Batman easier, because like I watched the interview that Game Informer did with the creators today, and it was like they said that the Joker kind of acted like he kind of like sabotaged the relationships between the villains,
mm-hmm.
So that like they never really were working together, but now that he's gone, like they've decided to work together. So now it's like they better not screw over Harley Quinn. I'd be angry.
Maybe this will be her chance to come out of her kind of shell and do her own thing. Now that the Joker's not around anymore, offering her up as rape bait.
Yeah.
That was so distressing. Did anybody else play that game and see that?
I haven't really played these games.
I didn't play it, but I watched the walkthrough, so I know what you're talking about.
It was horrible. Yeah. Well, okay. All right. What else we got?
So the writer of Uncharted, Amy Hennig, I think that's how you pronounce her name, left Naughty Dog during the creation of the new Uncharted. And originally, they didn't really say why, but now I think it was IGN is reporting that she was pressured to leave by the Last of Us's Neil Druckmann and Bruce Stanley, and was stating that Uncharted is now going to be under their control. So it's kind of like a little shiftiness going on.
You know, and I read that too, because IGN wasn't the only one, because the language has been, you know, she's been pressured to leave. Some outlets are saying she was run out by. And I think that is really interesting. This woman's been
10 years.
10 years, been with them for 10 years and given them 2 super successful games. Right?
She won, what was the, like, it was like, right, like she won an award for writing in Uncharted, right?
Yeah.
I think, I can't remember what it was exactly, but.
But so now, you know, they've done The Last of Us, which is questionable in and of itself. You know, a lot of people, okay, people loved The Last of Us, right?
I was about to say, hold on.
okay. I'm giving the devil his due. People loved The Last of Us, right? It won a BAFTA.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, not all of us loved it as much. But, really? You allow, because you got 2 young upstarts that have done a good thing, you're going to allow them to run this woman out? Because you want what she's built?
Yeah, I don't understand, like, I mean, I don't think anybody really understands what's going on. But yeah,
I really want to know. I want to know the whole story, because what we're getting is that, you know, what we're getting is, yeah, that she's been run out by these guys who wanted her IP, or wanted her series, right? Not that, you know, but wanted the series that she's been doing for 10 years. I'm so uncomfortable with that story. I'm hoping it's not as horrible as it sounds.
The only good thing that I feel like with this story is that from what I've read in, like, all of the comments, like, people are upset, though. Like,
yeah.
So that's good. Like, people are legitimately like, now I don't have any reason why to buy this new game. And, like, even people are like, maybe now she can work on better projects and stuff like that. So it's at least it's been pretty overwhelmingly positive for her. In support of her.
I hope so. Because
I think,
you know,
that's nice.
That was the first thing I said. I was like, okay, I got to hear the end of this, because at this point I'm not buying any more Uncharted games because I'm pissed.
Yeah. And also they might not be very good. I didn't realize this, but I was reading today that the Vita version was written by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was sort of boring. So
the Vita version was just, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. You know, with the rubbing and the, I was like, really? Come on.
Yeah.
You couldn't think of anything better to do with that mechanic.
I just find, like, Vita a little difficult to use in general.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? It's like the greatest thing ever.
Maybe if I played it more, though.
Well, if they had more games, you might play it more.
Yeah.
Anyway,
my last piece of news is I've decided to do a Rumor of the Week segment. So this rumor is that apparently sources are saying that the next generation Pokemon games have been dubbed Pokemon Plus and Minus. And they will focus on a like sort of old tradition versus new exploration theme, and that it's going to be focused on an area that's based around like southeastern Asia. So there's going to be like a main peninsula with little islands, and that the villains are like. It seems kind of like, I guess, like a criticism of, like, India's caste system. I'm not sure. It's a little strange. Like, it's saying that the villains believe that the player's best friend is a reincarnation of a special person who only is alive every 100 years, and that they believe that people should get a Pokemon egg and stick with that specific Pokemon until they die, and the, like, status of that Pokemon determines their role in society, and are against the modern trend of Pokemon trainers catching Pokemon, multiple Pokemon, and they're going to, like, sacrifice the friend to awaken the legendary Pokemon. I don't know, it's interesting, and it's just a rumor, so no guarantees, but it's an interesting one, for sure. And originally they were thinking that it was going to be for the Wii U, but then they found that it's not necessarily going to be for the Wii U. So it's just something to keep out for.
That sounds interesting. So is it going to be not like the traditional Pokemon game or like the ones we've been playing, but more like a RPG / adventure game? Is it going to be the same genre? Or
I don't know. I think that it... I mean, they said that... One of the parts of the rumor was that the development team is, quote, going to put a lot of ideas they have wanted to do for years in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe something different. There was even, like, they thought they have, like, the starters, like a Water Steel, a Fire Fairy, a Grass Electric, which is an interesting combination, and then the legendary Psychic Ground and Ghost Fairies. So in, like, that regard, it seems... similar, but I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out. I find it interesting that this is being leaked, like, and Pokemon X and Y are not very old.
No, they're not.
And
they came out, what, this summer?
It's a very quick, if it's true, then it's a very quick turnaround for the next edition.
Because it's usually, what, a couple years between?
I don't think, yeah, I'm not exactly sure how long, but it's not this quick, that's for sure.
Because there was Black, White, then Black and White 2, right?
And that was unusual. Like, they don't usually do the direct sort of sequel. So that was strange in and of itself. But yeah, but before Black and White, they did the... well, they have been doing the recreation, so, like, you know, Fire Red and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't think it's usually that quick that they make another Pokemon, which is why when they do another Pokemon, it's more of a big deal. So, I don't know. I mean, just because they have that this information also doesn't mean that it's coming out anytime soon, so...
That's true.
Could be a while.
It could be something they're just working on.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that it for news?
That is it for news.
That's good. All right. So next up we have, we have Indie Game of the Week. And I actually had an indie game that I've been playing. Or actually been playing a couple of different ones of the same game series, shall we say. It's a platformer, it's on sale on Steam this week, or for the next 2 days anyway as well. It's the midweek sale, the Gianni Sisters or Gianna Sisters. Has anybody ever played those before?
No, but I saw it today. It's $1.24.
It is. The Gianna Sisters. Twisted Dreams, Rise of the Overlord. and I've never bought these games on Steam, even though they're... I always get them on, like, Good Old Games, or I've got a couple of them on iOS as well. And the very first one, I remember the very first one, I can't remember what year it came out. The very first one was a direct knockoff of Mario. It was like, it was just a Mario game, and they just put the Gianna sisters in it. But they got ripped a new one by a number of different people for that reason. But they've had a number of iterations of this same game or another in this series since then, and these games have just gotten better and better. Like I said, I'm not a huge platformer fan.
I am.
You love these.
It looks like fun.
It is a lot of fun, and I play a lot of them on iOS. For me, they were always they were a little unwieldy on a full size iPad.
Mm-hmm.
They were a bit hard to see on the iPhone, but you know what kind of has been the sweet spot for these games for me has been the iPad Mini. You know, because you're working with the touch interface.
Yeah.
But they're great games and they're really pretty. And you get to play as kind of these like you get to play as the badass sisters. Instead of, you know, as your typical male platformer, your typical male platformer hero. Definitely something to check out. And at $1.24,
can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong. And, you know, and even like I said, if you want to go back and check out some of the older ones, and DRM's not your thing, you can buy them, like, everywhere, DRM free. And they're always fairly cheap. And you can get them also if you want them on your iPhone or iPad. You can get them that way. Like I said, the first one was a direct kind of knockoff of Mario, and you know I'm not kidding when I say direct knockoff. If you want to get it just to see it, then go ahead and get it just to see it. But otherwise, I would say probably skip the first one and go for some of the later ones. Or the best one to grab is the Twisted Dreams Rise of the Overlord right now, because it is $1.24, and this is one of the newest ones that just came out in September. So.
And $1.24 is less than a bag of chips. So.
I'm buying it now.
Chips only last you like a few minutes, and a game you can play. Over and over.
Over and over and over, especially a platformer.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I just looked at this, and it even got a good Metacritic score, which is, you know, not that Metacritic means anything at all, but I always think the folks at Metacritic hate everything, and I never pay attention to them because they always give things really low ratings, and then it's like a game that I really liked. But they didn't. They gave that. Maybe it works in reverse. If it's a game that I really like and they give it a high Metacritic score, maybe it is really a bad game. But anyway. So check that one out. Definitely. $1.24. You got, as of 10:30, you got 38 hours and 28 minutes to buy it.
Just bought it.
Yay! Tell me how you got. Now you gotta tell me how you like it.
Yeah.
Once you play it, don't play it now.
I mean, it's not like I have a backlog or anything. So.
All right. And so now we have our issue of the week. Which is ethics in games, right? And as Sarah said, you know that we've been. Every week she wants to say it's whatever we read in class.
Yes.
one thing that we read in class has been, we read one of Miguel Sicard's books on ethics in video games. So there was a lot of discussion on ethics in games that's kind of come from a lot of different places. And I thought it would be interesting for us to talk about ethics in games, not in the traditional, you know, here's an academic text. Let's talk about what this text is in relation to games, but just kind of how we see ethics operating in games. Excuse me. I'm stuffy now.
It's my fault.
It is your fault. Whatever. You came to class with that.
I did.
Disease you got over there. Sinus infection and passed it. If I get a sinus infection, I'm killing you. And in the game. But ethics in games, and we thought it would be fun to talk about. I think it's pretty interesting because ethics in games has been this larger issue as of late, as if it's a new thing. Right, as in there's never been ethical issues in games before.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, and I think one of the reasons that it's kind of come to the fore is that people like to think that all of the ethical choices at this point are now put on the player rather than anybody else, as in the developer, right, and the choices that are embedded in the game. Because there is that, I don't want to say, you know, that it's not a true one, but there is that idea of a choice, right? So it's like, okay, here are these things, choose one, right? And because you have to choose that, it's like, okay, so now that ethical decision falls on you. But there's this glossing over of the fact that you're still choosing from a set of pre-written, pre-prescribed selections, right?
Yeah, that have been like oftentimes labeled as like, this is the good answer, this is the bad answer, this is the neutral answer.
Right.
And they often don't change anything anyway. That drives me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that was one of the biggest complaints about the Walking Dead series, right? Is that, you know, you had these choices to make, and these choices were supposedly going to make, or at least you were led to believe that they were going to make a difference. Right, because that's what we were told, right? You're going to make these choices, and the choices will affect, you know, your later outcomes in the game. But then as we played through, and some people played multiple times, or even just we talked to other people who were playing the games, you know, we found out that we made different choices, but our endings were all the same.
Yeah, right? They perpetuate this because they're saying now with Season 2 that whatever choices you made in Season 1 will affect Season 2. And I don't believe them.
I don't believe you. Lies.
It is lies. So I started I played Season 1 on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing Season 2 on Xbox, and I don't think it'll make any difference.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that I think that's, I haven't, like I said, I haven't played Episode 2, but that's going to be the question of who this person is. That shows up, that may or may not be from Season 1. No spoilers for people who haven't finished Episode 1 yet. But, you know, there's someone who shows up and we don't know who it is.
Well, we'll see. It'll be the same person for all of us, I bet.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be. And I think I know who it is already, but I might be horribly wrong. I hope I'm wrong. this is one time I really want to be wrong. I want to be wrong because I want so much for choice to matter.
It's not going to matter, though. Not with this game. They've lost my trust.
I want it to matter in some game. And it
will. I think someday it might, but
Well, you know, we've talked about this a million times. Like even in Mass Effect, especially in Mass Effect 3, right? It's like, you know, our choices were supposed to affect ending, and there were different endings, yes, in Mass Effect 3.
Mm.
But not different enough for a lot of people. I was fine with the ending because, like I said, I had been playing that game for a long time. I had played all three parts of the series of the trilogy, and I was perfectly happy with the ending. I think I was like one of two people who actually was, and I'm okay with that. But one of the things that did bother me was the true black and white nature of the choices that you made, right? Because, yeah, even though they gave you a wheel with eight choices, dialogue choices, as you were kind of playing through the game, there were renegade options and paragon options. This is where, you know, it kind of slaps you in the face that a lot of the ethical choice kind of lies with the game itself, because I made a number of different choices that were pretty much 100% renegade. I'm not going to even hold you up. I was like, I'm playing this game as a badass, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to play completely renegade. But what that actually did was it made certain decisions for me. Like when I tried to shoot to wound someone in my mind, because I had been playing completely as renegade and that's how the game read me, it removed all choice for me and killed the person.
Yeah, like there were certain options that weren't available to you if you had gone too far in either direction anymore. Right. So it was like, because I play mostly in Paragon, but I would think that, yeah, like if you were playing renegade and you got too far, then it's like, oh, now you don't have any opportunity to negotiate. You have to go straight to threats or, like, violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we can't say that the onus lies on the player at that point, because the player doesn't have that choice, right? That choice is taken away from you, right? So you can make a choice, but you can only make a choice from within a very limited selection of choices.
Well, I feel like The Walking Dead sort of does the same thing, because if you don't make a choice, you're still making a choice to not say anything.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can't.
And that gets read another way.
Yeah. So even if they give you, say, four choices, and I don't like any of them, it's still doing something.
Which is, and also, like, because when I play, it's like, they don't even give you a lot of time to make the choice.
Which I know
is, like, for a reason, like, because in real life you wouldn't have that much time, but, like, still, it's like, you don't get to think about it. You're like, choice.
And sometimes I just wasn't paying attention, and it popped up, and I'm like, oh, crap.
And you're like, I gotta pick an option.
Now, here's a question. And maybe it's just me, or maybe, you know, I play too late at night when I'm already tired. But it seems like you have less time to make a choice in The Wolf Among Us than you do in The Walking Dead.
I haven't even finished episode one yet, so I don't know.
It seems like those choices just pop faster. So, I mean, I find myself a lot of times I just make a choice before I get a chance to read through all of them, because the timer goes so dang fast. And I'm not a slow reader.
No.
I know.
It's not like I'm sounding out words as I go along, right?
And that would be really hard for people with, like, dyslexia or something.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's no way to actually slow it down either.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the settings that can say, you know, slow, you know, because, I mean, sometimes you can slow down the speed at which text rolls or whatever. No, you can't slow it down. You have to make those choices in that same amount of time. So if you have dyslexia, or you are a slower reader, or, you know, or what have you, or you're visually impaired and it takes you longer to read, for any reason, you know, you're going to be at a disadvantage with this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like I said, I found myself making decisions, and when I go, oh, shit, if I had another, you know, 5 seconds, I wouldn't have chosen that one. I would have chose that next one, but it was too late. So, you know, here's a case where the system is kind of removing choice and kind of determining the ethical choices that I make, because they're not really ethical choices, but rather, you know, what happens, you know.
Oops, I clicked this one. I didn't mean to. Oops. I was just in a hurry.
Or I didn't click fast enough, so I gave no answer rather than the answer I really wanted to give.
Yeah, that's what happened in Walking Dead, even if it's a little slower.
Yeah. So I mean, and those are two very specific kinds of games that rely on specifically explicitly rely on you to make ethical choices. But like I said, and this is something that's been kind of pushed to the fore lately, right? Here are all these games that are asking us to think about situations ethically, blah, 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 blah. But as I said before, I think that the funny thing is that we've always made ethical choices in games. And they've just never been called that.
Discrete ones that aren't like where the ethics is like one of the selling points of the game, per se. Like, so it doesn't have like the ethical-based system or morality-based system that mm-hmm. like Mass Effect has or something right. like that, yeah.
I mean, what game doesn't have an ethical system of sorts is a bigger question, right? Or yeah. what game don't we make ethical choices in?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if we play, I mean, we can play certain games. I mean, and I've thought about this a lot, even playing, like Super Mario 3D World with P, is that she doesn't like to fight. In certain games. Like, if we play Ni No Kuni, she likes to fight. but in Lego games, unless it's just one-on-one, she doesn't like to fight.
Is it because they explode or something?
No, she doesn't like the fact that there are too many of them and she might get hurt.
Yeah, they send like 18 at you at a time.
Yeah, if it's one if it's one-on-one, she's fine with fighting. But other than that, and when we play the Mario games, she doesn't like to fight because there, once again, there's too many of them. But if she has the little white raccoon suit because she's failed a level too many times and she can just walk through them and like kill them all, she's fine with that too because there's no danger to her. But when there's danger to herself. And for the most part, in any game, she makes that choice. And this might be because in Ni No Kuni, they explicitly say that the characters that you fight don't die. There's actually a conversation between the fairy and the little boy who's the main protagonist. Then the little boy questions it early on. Oh, my God, are we killing these things, right? And the fairy tells him, no, we're not killing them. For some of them, what happens is you're breaking this magic spell that's made them evil, and they go back to being good. And for others, we are just sending them to a better place, is the way that they put it. But they're not dying.
Oh, that's a really good kid strategy, I think.
Yeah, it is, right?
Like you're saving them.
Like you're saving them, exactly. That's exactly what it is. You're saving them by defeating them, because you're not actually defeating them, but you're defeating the evil wizard who has possessed them in some way, shape, or form. So she makes this kind of, she seems to make this ethical decision not to fight these characters, and she will want to, like, when we play Super Mario 3D World, she'll try to go around them or jump over them. But not to actually, like, she will try not to jump on the heads of, you know, of the little mushroom guys or jump on them, but she wants to go around them or over them. And that's a very interesting, because we never think about platformers in terms of ethical decisions, right? Because, you know, a platformer has, you know, there's what do we do in platformers? We go through and we kill everything in our way to get to the end.
Except that your story is reminding me of the most ridiculous thing I do in Rayman Legends.
Which is?
Each level, you have 6 teensies that are in cages that you have to save.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 others that are in like little mini worlds that you have to locate and save. And so there's like 8 total. So of course you're going to miss some as you go through the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to go back, you know, and get them at some point. So I'll go back and replay a level, and maybe I only need to find 1 teensy or save 1 of them. Mm-hmm. But as you're going through it, they're like, help me. And I can't help it. I have to save them again. Even though it doesn't do anything for me, I can't stand it. I'm like, okay, I'm coming.
Because they're there. Because they're asking for help.
They're saying, help me.
Help me. Yeah, I can't mimic the voice, but I know what you're talking about.
I mean, and that even goes back to, okay, did anybody else play the first BioShock?
I did.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Little Sisters.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I saved all of them.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you're looking at who, it's like there's an ethical choice, right? Did you save them or did you harvest them?
Right.
I was like, really? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's not a choice.
The harvest that, like it, even like harvesting them, like it wasn't that much of a benefit, really. Like, I can't remember exactly what the reward was, but like, I remember being like, well, that's not that much of a difference.
But what if it had been?
Well, I was going to go back and play it again.
I still wouldn't have harvested them.
I wanted to play it again to see, but, I mean, who has time for that? So
It's not like GameStop coming out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these are, and that's what's really interesting, is that there are ethics embedded in all of these games, right? Even in the choices that we make, and that also in the choices that are made for us in terms of how the narrative is written, right? Because it's like, even when you play Donkey Kong, it wasn't like it was animal cruelty and we were going to, you know, kill innocent chimpanzees that were just swinging in trees and eating bananas, right? You were going to kill this raging gorilla that was throwing shit at you and trying to kill you and had held the, and was holding the princess, right? So I mean,
I think PETA would disagree with you though.
They probably would. yeah. they objected to Mario's Tanuki suit, so I don't.
And they can't get mad at me because I'm vegetarian. So.
Yes, it can. Do you ever like play Mario as a raccoon in his little Tanuki suit?
Well, yeah.
Okay, then, see, you're an evil person. And so, I mean, there's another ethical issue, right? Are you being ethical in that you are, you know...
Well, I can't say that I ever really thought that his Tanuki suit was actually the skin of a raccoon.
Well, why wouldn't you think that it had a raccoon tail on it?
The costume. It's like a furry style costume without the face.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But no, it didn't. Anyway.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, all that aside, I start to think about all the other kinds of ways that we see ethics at play in games, right? You know, in the narratives, in the choices that we make, in the choices that are made for us. And then I also start to think about some of the really kind of questionable games that have come up. And I start to think back to our last episode about which games we have had to not play because of something that goes on or something that in the game or around the game, right? Mm. And ethics is embedded there as well. I mean, there's always crazy games, right? You know, that are like, okay, well, holy shit, I really can't play that because X happens. Mm. But then even like, talk about ethics around games, right? Like our discussion earlier during the news portion about Uncharted, right? And whether or not we're going to play the next Uncharted game. I mean, that in many ways is an ethical decision that we make, right? It's like, do I choose to support or not support this company and or IP and or developer because of the things that they have done? Mm. And that's always an interesting question, and it's one that comes up all over the place, right? Because we come up with these and this has always been a thing that I've always said about even like actors and actresses, right, or people who are, you know, in the entertainment industry, right? It's like your best bet is to always keep your shit out of the news.
Yeah.
And don't jump up on a political pedestal if, you know, you're making $10 million or $20 million a movie and you're expecting to be this kind of benign personality that everybody's going to want to see your film or buy your CD or what have you, because you're going to piss somebody off, right? I mean, because there are lots of folks whose stuff I don't patronize in any way, shape, or form because of their political views or, you know, because of things that they've done in their own personal lives. Why? Because they put their shit out there, and then if I am ethically opposed to it, I feel like it's kind of my responsibility not necessarily, well, not only to the world, but definitely to myself, to not support this with my dollar.
Yes. Yeah. Thankfully, the people who do that are usually not the people that I like anyway.
I don't know. Sometimes I get hurt by people.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, by companies that suddenly I can't go to anymore. And
yeah, that's
true. Uh-huh.
And I liked what you said, Sam, about more about yourself, because, you know, I do that too, and I get pushback from people, like, and it's like, but I'm not going to go because I'm not comfortable with it. So that's just how it is.
And sometimes you have to.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, because, you know, in many ways, I, right, have to stand up for something or something in some way, because it's only by standing up for those things that, you know, you can kind of try to make or start to make any kind of change in the world, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's only by saying, you know, I'm not going to buy, I'm not fucking call people out. Like, I never buy a, you know, Chris Brown CD or watch a Chris Brown video. I don't even let that shit play in my car.
Yeah.
When it comes on the radio, right? Because I am opposed to his treatment of Rihanna as an individual and Rihanna as a woman, right? And, you know, I'm not terribly thrilled with her either. But, you know, I definitely don't allow that in my space, right? Because I don't want my kid to, you know, say, oh, I like this music and sing this music and want to see videos or whatever. I mean, it's pretty risque anyway. So I don't, most of that stuff I don't want her to hear anyway. I thought about that today as I was listening to, on streaming, I did not purchase, Pharrell's new CD. And I was like, you know, cause the song for Despicable Me 2 is on there, the happy song,
yeah,
which she absolutely loves, but then all these other songs are on there. And I was like, how many parents bought this guy's CD for their kid because happy was on there, and like the song immediately preceding it is him singing about some girl's ass that's on fire, and that's literally what he says. I'm like, you imagine walking in one day and hear your kid singing about some girl's ass on fire, and you're like, what the hell? And it's like, and then Happy comes on afterwards, and you're like, oh, that's definitely the wrong CD to buy. But, you know, so that is not a case of kind of ethical decisions in terms of him as an individual or him as a person. But to say, you know, I'm not going to support Uncharted, future games in the Uncharted series because Amy Henning was forced out is an ethical decision on my part for many reasons. One, because, you know, what happens if, you know, is it a question of her being an older developer? Is it a question of her being a female developer? You know, what are these issues? And these are all things that kind of stand out, you know, when you look at this whole situation. One, she's a woman. Two, she's not, you know, she's not as young as, you know, a lot of the developers that are coming up now, even though she is extremely talented and has proven herself as such, you know, at what, you know, because, you know, the latest upstarts who, you know, win an award and have a track record of one hot game can force her out to take her series. Then it is my responsibility to let Naughty Dog know that I don't approve of this.
Yeah.
You know, with my purchasing, with my purchasing power, or the removal of such.
Yeah, I get frustrated because I've been accused of trying to put companies out of business, which is totally ridiculous because my one
vote is
not going to put anybody out of business. But I have to stay true to me. I won't do it. So.
You know, it's like, yeah, but at the same time, if my one vote could put them out of business, then hey, good, damn it.
But I feel like in that case, I'm still not putting them out of business. They're putting themselves out of
business. Yeah.
It's true.
Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, that's what you have to be true to yourself at the same time. It's like, oh, you're putting somebody out of business. You're putting people out of work. No, I'm being true to myself and saying I can't support this in good faith.
Yeah, and it's really hard to get me back once you've pissed me off.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I'll just say that, like, I don't want to call anybody out either, but I'll just call this one out because everybody's mad at them all the time. But I don't shop at Walmart, and I was accused of – that was who I was accused of going to put out of business. And I'm like, there's no way I can put Walmart out of business. They don't even notice I'm gone. They don't care.
No. No. It's funny because I try not to go to Walmart. I really, really try not to go to Walmart. But there are, like, from time to time, there are times that there's just no getting around it. Like when it's 3 o'clock in the morning and your kid's puking and you need Pedialyte and there's a Walmart on the corner, or I can take 20 minutes to drive to Meijer, which is the only other place that's open at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, right. At that time, I got to go to Walmart.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it becomes that situation. It's like, you know, the lesser of two evils at that point. But I'm not doing my regular grocery shopping at Walmart for a number of reasons. but, you know, that's a choice that I make for myself, right? You know, there are all kinds of quote-unquote ethical choices that I make. And those are things that you make, you know, for yourself and by yourself, and other people can't question. So, I mean, and it's not only in, like I say, in kind of the games or the things that go on around games, or not just about the things that go on around games, but people also can't question our choices in games, right? Like, you know, because I know I laugh sometimes because people who say that they play Dishonored all the way through and didn't kill anybody.
It's so much easier to kill them. I hated that game because I wanted to play stealthy, and then it's like, whatever, I'm just going to kill you all.
Right.
So I can move on.
and that's one of the reasons that I don't like stealth games, because stealth games try to force you into certain ethical choices, which is, you know, be stealthy, don't kill anybody. It's okay to knock them out, but don't kill them. I'm like, yeah, give them a concussion, but don't kill them.
And it just takes so much longer.
Well, not only does it take so much longer, but it punishes you for not making the ethical choices that it thinks you should.
Yes.
And that was like the game, one of the games I really wanted to play. And I had pre-ordered, and I got it, and I played through it, and I absolutely hated it. And it's a game everybody loved. Well, not everybody. Lots of people loved Deus Ex Human Revolution.
I didn't play that.
Mm-mm. I never finished it, even though I really, really wanted to play that game, and I really wanted to finish that game, because there were certain missions in there that you could only complete by stealth. And they were super hard, especially when you have a player like myself who doesn't usually play stealth games. Okay, yeah, penalize me for killing somebody. but don't make me keep going over and doing the same damn mission over and over and over again.
Well, that's what I felt like with Dishonored, though. I felt like it was taking too long. I kept dying. You have to do it again.
But you can kill everybody in Dishonored. I killed everybody.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At some point, I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to kill you all.
But see, what pissed me off about Dishonored, what pissed me off about Dishonored was that there was no... It was like the more people you killed, the darker your ending.
Yeah.
Because it was almost like it was the game expected you to be the better person. Because, like, the people that you were killing, it wasn't like they were nice people. They had kidnapped the little girl. They were holding her. They had killed her mother. They had, like, falsely imprisoned you. I mean, they had done all this horrible shit. But at the same time, I was supposed to go through and not kill them?
Right.
That I didn't get. I don't know. And it's like, why am I being penalized for this? Why am I going to get the quote-unquote darker ending?
Killing is not the answer, Sam.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Negotiate. Negotiation.
You can't negotiate either. You have to just, like, hide.
Uh-huh.
Hiding is a form of negotiation.
Obviously, in some people's view, it is.
You're just too set on killing people, Sam.
Apparently.
I just want to move through the game. You know, I don't want to stay here forever. That's what I'm saying.
And that's like I said, that's what's really interesting is that there are these ethics that are being imposed on you as the gamer. And if you don't, like, toe the line, you're being punished for it.
Yep.
And that is so problematic. I want a game, ultimately, that allows me to do whatever the hell I want to do. Make the ethical choices that I want to make. I don't know how it's going to give me all of those, give everybody that range of choices without giving them. They got to figure out a way to do that, too.
And I think it's hard. I think it's hard. It's hard to code, and it's hard to, like, create that kind of system.
Absolutely.
So I will give, I mean, because I do understand, like, that's got to be really incredibly difficult.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'd be willing to pay if they did it right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be fun. Because that's what they keep hyping in it. You know, I've played games, I think, where I think the choices do make it, you know, like Dishonored, I guess, would be an example where the choices do make somewhat of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You get a darker ending. But I get really frustrated with the lies that in Walking Dead. You're going to make these decisions.
Referring to them as lies.
I know, they are lies.
They're lies because I know that we made different decisions and everybody had the same ending. So,
yeah. Well, lies. The same ending.
With a different dialogue for like a minute
and a half. With different dialogue.
Yeah. But the dialogue was still really the same. It was just whichever part you screwed up on or whatever. Came up in the dialogue, but other than that, it was exactly the same.
So. Yeah. Well, that was supposed to be your customized ending was the dialogue.
Well, I wasn't satisfied. I'm not a satisfied customer.
Oh. But I wonder if, just kind of, you know, as a way to wrap it up, to think about, I wonder if games like Project Spark, where you're building.
That's what I was thinking.
Your own game. It's interesting because, like, not only when you're making these decisions, when you're building certain things in, and I'm anxious to see how this works as I, one, play around with it more, and two, start playing around with what other people have built, because you can do that. It's like, you know, like I said, it's like Minecraft and meets Fable. So not only can you say, you know, I want, you know, X thing to be here, but you can, there's a scale for it. So you can determine how much or how little in intervals. So, you know, you can say, I want it to be, you know, X aggressive or Y aggressive. and anywhere in between on that continuum. So then you get to start building games. And, you know, and at first, when I first started playing, I was like, why would you want to do this? You're putting these things down and you're building it. So where's the fun in playing through that thing? Do you understand what I mean? It's like, yes. I already know what's going to happen.
I wonder if you do know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you'll just need to go on. But.
Well, you know, and that's the thing is that I quote unquote made one little adventure and played. It was just as fun.
Yeah. But I guess if you look at it that way, and I look at it as someone who's like, for example, play Dead Rising more times than anybody needs to. I mean, I know what's going to happen, right? But it's always fun.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's, I don't know. Same thing.
I think that's definitely the thing.
Hmm.
All right. That was interesting. That was fun.
Yes, indeed. I just really want to know what that whole situation is with Naughty Dog. It's just like...
Yeah.
I'm anxious to find out.
Because, you know, nobody's going to just give you the answer.
Of course not. But it'll be interesting to see if she comes out, if Amy Hennig comes out and talks about it.
Hmm.
Probably not, though.
She said some things on her Twitter, like... just like people in support of her just responded to them, but hasn't really said anything like related to why or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting definitely to see what comes out, if anything.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If anything, a lot of times these things are just going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating.
Well, maybe it'll come out more, like, as the new Uncharted gets closer to release, too.
Yeah. Well, it'll definitely come out, I guess, if it's terrible.
Yeah. They said it wouldn't affect development.
Yeah, but it might affect the...
We'll see.
The writing.
Yeah.
So...
Unless she did it all already.
Oh, yeah, and then she won't even get credit for it.
And then... They're like, nah, you're done now.
It'll be interesting. Mm. All right. Do we have deals other than Gianna Sisters, Twisted Dreams for $1.24 it can be?
Well, I don't have anything that can beat that. I do have some deals.
What you got?
Well, I suppose it's because Walking Dead 2 came out today, perhaps, but on Steam it's 33% off, which makes it 16-something, which is more expensive than Xbox, but...
It is.
Anyway, I bought it on like, Xbox today for $14.99. PlayStation Plus is having their Spring Fever sale, and I would love spring someday, please.
Yes.
But it looks like 4 weeks of sales. This week is Need for Speed, $5 each if you are a PS Plus member, $10 each if you are not. And then it goes, I think, Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto, Bioshock. And then the other, well, Blackgate is on sale for $19.99 for both Vita and 3DS. I'm excited about that. It'll be here tomorrow.
Woohoo.
And if you're into Call of Duty Ghost, Newegg has it right now for $19.99 for Xbox 360 and PS3 or $29.99 for the new ones.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, I think that was the best deal I found.
And one thing we talked about is like The Walking Dead Season 2 is on sale for 33% off. But if you didn't play Season 1 yet on Steam, the Season 1, you can get the whole season for $8.49.
Yeah.
That's a good way to start.
Then you can find out if I'm wrong about whether or not your choices matter.
The big reveal.
See how that works out for you.
Yeah. Go ahead and contact us with your choices and your... ending.
You know, but that's to talk about ethics again for just a second in The Walking Dead, that's another interesting thing about ethics in The Walking Dead is the way that they kind of choice shame you.
Yeah.
At the end of every episode, right? It's like, you know, you made this choice. 39% of all players made this choice, or 10% of all players make this choice, right? So you're being constantly held up to scrutiny.
Because I always pick the majority. I guess I'm not very creative.
To me, it was like, at the end, even like after you make the decision, and then they're like, so-and-so will remember this. And it's like, ah!
That's another thing.
And then there's the one scene I remember where basically your choice is to feed your kid or not feed your kid.
Yeah.
And you're an asshole for either way, right?
So. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but that so-and-so will remember this, or, you know, X will notice, oh, X noticed you said that.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things are almost kind of paralyzing in that game. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, because there have been times, okay, and I will admit that usually I made myself a promise. Well, not promise. I said to myself when I started playing this game, I'm just going to play this game straight through. I'm not replaying. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. But I did something in one of the episodes in the first season, and it was like Clementine saw that. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And I actually went back and replayed that so that I did something different. Because that was just paralyzing. Because I kept thinking, what if my kid saw me do that?
There was only one time in the game that I wish I had gone back and changed the decision.
Well, but also, you have to realize, like, it's a zombie world, so it's like choices that you make in real life are just not practical when there are zombies.
Mm.
So,
I don't know. The choice that I would have changed that would have been practical or necessary, zombies or not.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you what it is after we're done because I want to know.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what
mine is. I think I already told you before, but I'll tell you.
I wonder if it's the same one. I can't remember. We'll see. All right. So, those are our deals for Broke Ass Gamers. Remember, you can contact us and send us email, voicemail, video mail, whatever kind of mail you want to send us at nymgamer@gmail.com, or you can use the handy dandy voicemail applet on our sites at nymgamer.com. We also have an applet at the top of our Facebook page. You can like us on Facebook by going to Not Your Mama's Gamer, or you can follow us on Twitter and get daily updates about our blog, daily blog posts, and when new episodes go up at NYM Gamer. And if, you know, Facebook, Twitter, or websites are not necessarily your thing, or, you know, regular old blogs are not your thing, you can definitely follow our Tumblr at nymgamer.tumblr.com, where you will get all of our daily posts kind of neatly escorted over to our Tumblr site. Thanks to the wonderful and creative Sarah.
Tumblr!
you don't have to miss it ever. Did I cover everything? You can reach us in all these various and sundry ways. We like questions. We like comments. We look forward to them. Please send them. And with that, we come to the end of episode 73. And we hope that you guys all come back and join us for episode 74. And until next time, stay warm, stay dry, and as always, game on.